You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to today's Natural Health Radio Show. This is the Nature Connection Show with Sarah Turner. I'm delighted today to be joined by David Farrell, who is the director and co-founder of Archetype Events. So welcome to Nature Connections, David.
Hi, Sarah. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us today. Now, I know we're going to be talking about the plant kingdom and your relationship with the plant kingdom. And talking about how that affects us all as inhabitants of this earth. We're also going to be talking up about your plant consciousness event that's taking place in London in October. So it's an exciting time to be doing this kind of work, isn't it?
It is indeed. We feel very passionately about the event that we're running in October, and we feel that there is a real groundswell of interest and enthusiasm about the plants and how they're trying to communicate with us at this time.
Yeah.
So there's a real kind of sense of energy and interest about what we're doing, which is great.
Yes, absolutely. So the details of the event are all flagged up on the Natural Health Radio site under the Nature Connection Show. So if anybody's in a hurry, they can find all the details there. And we will be talking about how you can find out towards the end of today's interview. But first of all, we're going to just explore together why it's important for us to really connect back to nature. So David, first of all, tell us a little bit about Archetype Events and the work that you do with your wife, Emma.
Yes, okay. So Archetype Events is a little business, events business that myself and my wife, Emma, run together. Our background, both of us over all of our working lives really, has been in the events industry. And myself, for many years, worked as an exhibition director in the business-to-business space out in the Middle East. Actually organising events to do with traffic and transport infrastructure and then car park management of all things. And my wife was more involved in kind of big public events like concerts and fashion shows. About 4 or 5 years ago, we both embarked on a spiritual journey, you can say, to Egypt, which took in all of the sites of Egypt. But it really was a wake-up call for both of us. And after we returned from that trip back to Dubai, where we were living at the time, we both kind of decided together that we didn't want to continue working in the business-to-business space that we were doing with the events that we were running in Dubai at that time. And so we decided to take some time off, and we travelled to India, spent a year and a half living there, spent quite a bit of time up in Dharamsala, got into studying Buddhism, which we went very deep with there for about 6 months. And that actually inspired us to then move to Italy to do a two-year course, a two-year master's degree, in fact, in Tibetan Buddhism. And so our kind of personal journey from that point forwards, and around the same time we decided that we wanted to use the events experience that we had to start creating more spiritual kind of earth-based events, and to create something different using our kind of business to business experience, but putting it into something that we were both kind of really interested in. And that was how Archetype Events started.
It's an inspiring story, you know, because it's a lovely merging together of all the strengths that you gained when you worked out in the Middle East in the more, let's say, mainstream world, and actually bringing that structure back into the world of energy and helping to raise people's consciousness. Now it's a lovely marriage.
It is indeed, and we feel very blessed to have found the opportunity to do this. And in the initial circumstance, I mean, both of us actually are very interested in the nature of the mind and in consciousness and what it means to be a human being. Obviously that kind of plays very much into a lot of the Buddhist stuff that we've studied as well. And that was really why we decided to launch our first event in this kind of more open and esoteric, perhaps spiritual space. And that event was Gateways of the Mind, which still runs. It's very successful. It runs in both London and Dublin now. And that's about lucid dreaming, near-death experiences, shamanism, out-of-body experiences. And that really explores the nature of consciousness and the mind but in a very kind of grounded way. It uses Western science, it uses the wisdom traditions of Buddhism, Taoism, Sufism, and then also the universal knowledge from the various types of shamanism that are really coming back into mainstream consciousness right now.
Mm. So it seems a bit of a theme for your work that you're bringing lots of different strands together.
Yeah, and I think that's really just a reflection of both myself and my wife's interests. So we have very broad-reaching interests on a spiritual level. We've studied quite a few different things over the last few years. And we see that there is the space for everything, and then we believe in a very kind of open attitude towards all different types of spirituality, whether it's to do with lucid dreaming, whether it's to do with religion, or whether it's to do with the plant kingdom. And I feel that this gives us a nice position within which to work with our events.
Absolutely, yeah. It's lovely, lovely, lovely to hear how solid it feels. So let's talk a little bit about the Plant Consciousness event, and particularly about what that means. As this is Natural Health Radio, I'm guessing that people, many listeners will know, but I don't know if everybody always, even myself sometimes, it's very easy to disconnect ourselves when we live in our modern world. So to actually bring back all of ourselves into our bodies and connect back to ourselves as beings alongside nature, as also beings, is just so interesting. So I'd love to talk to you about that.
Yeah, so the Plant Consciousness event actually, on one level, is kind of an outwards reflection of the inwards journey that we were taking people on with the Gateways of the Mind, which is really much more of an individual experience about letting people explore consciousness through the different mediums that I've already mentioned. But then in the process of doing that, I, those events also being kind of a reflection of our own journeys, and having always had a love of nature and the being outside, and becoming increasingly more in tune with different types of plant spirituality, herbalism and shamanism, it seemed to me that there was really a case of that humans had become disconnected from the outside world, and increasingly, you know, in the world of technology that we live in certainly the Western world, that everything is becoming much more about the latest phones, the latest laptops, the internet, and technology in general, which in many ways is great. But at the same time, I feel that that's bringing people much more inside, and their focus is not on the outdoors as much. And certainly when I was a child, I spent pretty much all of my time outside, and I didn't have a computer, I didn't have a PlayStation or on a mobile phone or a smartphone, any of these things. And I think that connection to the outside world really gave me the appreciation of how beautiful the world is, mm. and varied, and how magical it can be if you spend time in it and really look at it in detail.
Yep, absolutely. I think it's a sense most of us as children did spend a lot more time outside. And so I think we've all got a sense of that in our muscles, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something that perhaps has changed a little bit over the last 10 to 15 years, that with the advent of technology, perhaps many more children these days don't spend as much time out walking the hills, roaming the field, or even just playing football with their friends, you know, in kind of the grass patch next to their house.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit sad. And I think that, I through the Plant Consciousness event, I'd like to remind people in some way that the world is amazing, and that we have these incredible opportunities to connect with different types of consciousness and different types of beings that aren't human, and perhaps we can find a way to learn something from these beings.
Absolutely, yeah. So maybe we can start talking about how we all do, in fact, connect with these different aspects of consciousness through the plants. I would imagine that many people listening right now love to walk in the park, they love to sit in their garden, they maybe love to garden, they love to go to garden centres and look at the flowers and the plants. And this is all part of how we connect, isn't it?
It is, very much so. And I was recently at the Chelsea Flower Show, where I was assisting with the people with the music of the plants from Damana, who we'll perhaps talk about a little bit in a minute. But you know, there must have been, I don't know how many thousands of people, but there were a lot of people there across the few days of the event, and all with an obvious interest in flowers and perhaps more generally in plants. And I wondered at the time how many of these people, what kind, you know, how far their connection with the flowers and plants went. Was it purely on an aesthetic level, or did they perhaps have a deeper connection? I mean, there are many people I've met over the years who spend the whole days gardening and feel a real connection. I believe even Prince Charles himself talks to his flowers and his plants. So, you know, that's something that many people do without even really thinking about it. And yet I wonder if you know, in the process of doing that, whether they've considered that there is also an intelligence that's trying to communicate with them back, and it's actually a two-way communication. And if so, what is that intelligence trying to tell us?
And that's what your event is all about, isn't it? It's really awakening that on a much deeper level.
Yes, it is indeed. And at the end of the day, we as human beings are also organic beings, and we live on an organic planet. And it seems to me that it's imperative that we should live in a harmonious balance where everything is in respect of each other and in balance with each other. And unfortunately, I feel that in the current climate, we're seeing the destruction of many, many ecosystems due to the overproduction of food sources and the poor management of other resources. And this has led to the destruction of places like the rainforests and the oceans and many other habitats. And obviously, this is not a sustainable situation moving forwards.
Yes, that's the big, deeper levels of it. And I think it's all part of it, isn't it? As we disconnect from the natural world around us, then we're going out of balance, and it's just being reflected outwards in quite catastrophic ways.
Totally. I mean, I'm very much of the opinion that the world around us is our mirror, both on the microcosm and the macrocosm levels. And, you know, if we look at the state of the world, and this kind of level of destruction that we're seeing more and more clearly. And I think that's one of the things that the internet has really given us as a benefit, is that we see our world much more closely than we ever have done before, because we have so much more access to eyes on different parts of the planet. And I think that's a good thing. It's making us much more aware of the plight of situations, you know, not just to do with environmental issues, but also to do with humanitarian issues and sociological issues. And I think that's a good thing. But also, because we're spending so much time looking at the computer screens, that we are perhaps kind of seeing a move in many ways more towards a kind of product-driven world that is very much focused on technology and less on organic matter. And perhaps that's a situation that needs to be brought back into balance, so the two things can live in harmony with each other. And that's a responsibility that I think humans have to take upon themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I think we can also look to nature as a teacher in this. Certainly in the work that I do with the flower essences, we're always looking to receive the messages of the plants, to raise our vibrations, to expand our consciousness. So I would love to hold with you right now just a vision that the plant consciousness event is going to really expand and send out a vibration in a very wide way to help this forward.
Yes, very much so, and thank you for sharing that space and holding that vision with us. And that is really what plant consciousness is about. It's creating a platform where inspirational people from different walks of life can talk about their connection to the plants and the natural world, and perhaps open a window for other people to look into and say, oh wow, okay, this is something that I also resonate with, but I just never quite framed it like this. And that's really where the mix of the presenters and speakers we have at Plant Consciousness, I think, is quite important to look at, because each one represents a different aspect of that.
So talk to us a little bit about some of the people that are coming along and what they're going to be teaching us. Give us a flavour right now.
Okay, yeah, great. So
because there's going to be lots of people listening who probably are not UK-based, so... Let's start the vibration outwards straight away, right now through the show.
Yeah, so probably the best person to start with then in that kind of framework is John Perkins, a very well-known person who sold millions of books. He's most well-known for his best-selling whistleblowing book called Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which he wrote a few years ago, which is really an expose of his time working for the CIA when he was sent into, you can say, developing countries in those times. Particularly, I think, in Central and South America, where he was instructed to destabilize countries from a financial point of view so that the American government could go in and basically bail them out and then put the countries in their pocket for future use. Through going to the Amazon sometime, some years after that, and sitting in a shamanic circle with the Shuar people and drinking the visionary plant ayahuasca. He then completely changed his view and went back into the world and realized he could no longer do this work. And he subsequently went on to co-found the Pachamama Alliance and many other kind of visionary projects about changing the dream that we as humans have about the world that we live in. So he really kicks off the event, and he will also be holding a one-day workshop the day after the conference about how we can change ourselves and change the planet in doing so. But he's really going to be talking about the big picture on the global level and how, you know, on an individual level, we have an impact on the global level as well. So, you know, he's really holding the big vision for us all, and that's where the event's going to start. And then from that point forward, we start with the big vision and we progressively move more towards the kind of microcosm, you can say, looking at different ways that we can interact with humans. Both, again, we always, like, all the presentations will look at how we can connect on an individual level, but then how that reflects back out into a community or a global level. So we have a wonderful lady called Pam Montgomery, who's very well known on the stateside of the Atlantic. She's written a great book called Plant Spirits Healing, which is really a mixture of herbalism and shamanism.
I've got that book. It's wonderful.
Yes, it's a beautiful book, and we feel very honoured that both Pam and John are coming across from the US for this event. And she really shows ways that if we wish, we can sit in nature and actually communicate directly with the intelligence of different plants, and in doing so, we can find out more about the healing qualities and the knowledge that those plants have, and then how we can use that productively and in a sacred and respectful way in our own lives. And hopefully, if we all do that collectively, then the vibration will change very quickly. So we also have the people from Damana University in Italy. Maybe some of your listeners are aware of the Damana community that is based just near Turin in northern Italy. It's a very kind of spiritual community. But one of the really interesting aspects of the research they've been doing since the 70s is actually communicating directly with plants. And this has evolved into a project called Music of the Plants. Mm-hmm. And what that actually is they found a way to connect plants directly to... you can say something like an amplifier or a piece of musical equipment, and then they allow the plants to express themselves through the vibrational frequencies that plants send out, and that then is converted by the machine that they use into what you can call music. And so effectively you're listening to the plants talk to you. Now I'm not the best person to explain that properly, and that's why we've got Tigrila from Damana coming to talk about that. And we're actually going to have some of the plants that sing and the machines with them, and people will actually be able to listen to the plants throughout the course of the day.
Wow.
Singing at the conference. So that we really want people to be able to find that direct connection themselves, and then they can take away some kind of real experience that actually points to the fact that there are conscious beings or intelligence that are trying to communicate with us.
So you have quite a group of people coming, haven't you? Some very enlightened, inspirational, well-known people coming over.
Yes, we do. And we also, I'll just quickly mention a couple of the others. We have Sir Julian Rose, who's very well-known as being one of the first ever organic farmers in the UK. And he's going to be explaining and talking a little bit about his own experiences as being an organic farmer and some of the hurdles he had to face and what that means to us in terms of how we work with the land and with the plants of the land and start to treat them in a very respectful way. Obviously, there's a lot of kind of emphasis at the moment on Monsanto and genetically modified crops, and he's done quite a bit of research into what the long-term implications of that might be. Then we have a very interesting guy called Simon Powell, who's made a great little movie called Metanoia, which if any of your listeners care to check it out, it's on YouTube. And that's really about his experiences working with psilocybin mushrooms and how they have shown him that there is an intelligent order behind all of nature. It's a great movie. It's called Metanoia. I really recommend that you viewers check it out. And then also we have Philip Cargom, who's the head of the UK Druid Order, which is really a connection to the ancient past that we have in this country. And The Druids were well known for their use of kind of traditional plants and herbalism, and I think that's something that's important, that there is a real interest at the moment within the particular spiritual community, but I think it's going to move out beyond that soon as well in shamanism. And I see many people going to South America these days and wanting to connect with visionary plants like ayahuasca and San Pedro and peyote and these other kinds of plants. But we have a long-standing tradition in our own, in the British Isles, of working with other plants that are around us all the time. You know, sometimes very simple plants that we consider weeds, things like the nettle or the dandelion, which have their own amazing healing qualities. I mean, nettle to most people probably is just a nuisance. But if you really explore the qualities of the common stinging nettle, it's a superfood, rich in many very positive things that humans need in their diet. And nettles can be used in many very interesting and positive different ways. So he's going to be talking about that. So as you can see, just from that kind of snapshot of the speakers, there's quite an eclectic mix, but they're all kind of moving in the same direction. And then finally, we have someone that you know very well, Stefan Ball from the Bark Centre. He'll be talking about the use of the bark remedies, flower essences, which is, to these, you know, these days is almost a mainstream medicine you can find in many kind of, you know, high street shops, and yet many people don't actually understand how the rescue remedy, for example, actually works. So I think a lot of people that don't know that will find that quite a revelationary talk.
Yes, and Stefan's a great ambassador for all of this as well. He's a great ambassador. As to what a flower essence or even what a herbal medicine actually is, or it's bringing it down, because we're so used to, aren't we, in this world, as we're the kind of pill taking generation where we feel something, find the solution, take it, and don't really think about the bridge between it and how that's working.
Yes, I totally agree, and again this kind of feeds back into this idea of the disconnection. It's very easy to go to the doctor, to the pharmacy, and be given a prescription for a pill that you have no idea really what the ingredients are, or how it's been put together, or the process that it's arrived at your doorstep. And I think that there's a real lack of responsibility in many ways on the part of humans not to investigate these processes without wanting to go into the whole pharmaceutical industry business. But you know, if we can find a way to actually self-medicate by working with the herbs and plants that we have around us, and in doing so realize that actually the solutions to most ailments that we have are always around us, then we can actually start to perhaps move in a new direction in terms of how we heal ourselves.
And there is a big thinking, isn't there, that and many people may already be aware of this, but it's always great to remind ourselves that what we need is usually in our back garden or in the park down the road.
Yes, that's very true, and it's often said that if you really ask the plant kingdom for help, then within normally a few days, plants, if they aren't already in your garden or your environment, will actually appear to help you. It requires a little bit of knowledge to know what the plants actually will do and what their healing capacities are. But I just think that's amazing that there's a really responsive network of organisms out there that are listening to us all the time and willing to respond and to help us if we care to look for them.
And certainly, and I think many people do this without thinking, and it's just, again, worth connecting people back to the experience that in the work that I do with flower essences, a lady comes to mind who I saw many years ago now, who was having anxiety issues, and one of the essences that she took was hawthorn. Mm-hmm. Now, herbally, we know that it helps circulation as a flower essence, it opens the heart. And in the process of this, she said to me, "Oh, I have a hawthorn tree at the bottom of my garden, and when these anxiety fits or attacks come upon me, what I do is I go and sit under my hawthorn tree and it calms me."
Yes.
And she didn't know anything about, she hadn't connected any of those dots, and it was our speaking together that allowed it. But so there's I'm sure that happens to all of us all the time.
Yeah, and these are the beautiful connections that many of us have, and that we just perhaps don't always put the pieces together and understand what's going on. And if we can start to develop, each of us, a relationship with the various plants in our back garden in this way, then I really think that we'll start to develop a level of respect and trust with these beings and these plants and the intelligence behind them, because they are very benevolent and they want to help. And they are, you know, they're great healers and great teachers.
And they need us too. You know, it is a partnership, isn't it?
It is. You know, and that's the beauty of the world that we live in. When everything's in balance, it's all a partnership, and it's, you know, every being, whether it's a small insect or human being, everyone has their place in the structure and the makeup of the world, and I think that's something that's really important to remember.
It certainly does, and you've done a great job just bringing that to us today. So would you like to tell everybody exactly how they can find out more about the event and how they can book their tickets?
Yeah, sure. So the easiest thing to do is to check out our website, which is plantconsciousness.com. We also have a very active Facebook page for those of you that use Facebook, called Plant Consciousness. All of the information about the speakers and their presentations you can find there, and you can also book your tickets directly there. Tickets are selling quite quickly at the moment, so if you are interested, I do recommend looking into that as soon as possible. And if you're coming from outside London, I also recommend it just so that you can find somewhere to stay without too much difficulty. So that's the easiest place to find the information. Alternatively, you can always get in touch with myself on Facebook, David Farrell. I'd like to also just to take the opportunity to thank the BFEEA for their support of our event and for your role in that, Sarah, because we're very pleased that you guys are going to be involved and actually participating during the conference.
Yes, well, it's our privilege and honour really to connect. It's what we were just saying, isn't it, with the plants. When we all come together, we can do so much more together. So that's really what's happening here, and we're delighted to support you. Yeah. So maybe you'd like to share with everybody as well a little bit about your YouTube channel, because I think if people have enjoyed today's interview, they're also going to enjoy watching some of your videos.
Yes. Yeah, so as part of the build-up that we do to all of our events, we take the opportunity to, a bit like me and you have this afternoon, just to sit and chat with each of the presenters and find out a bit more about their background, so that people out there can tune into what these people are about. And if they find something that resonates with them, then hopefully people want to come and listen to them in more detail at the event. And it's also just a great way to kind of connect people all around the world who perhaps can't make the event or don't know so much about some of these ideas. The YouTube channel will be called Plant Consciousness, and the first interview will be going out tomorrow with, in fact, Tigrila from the Music of the Plants. So,
wow.
Yeah, and again, that will all be posted through Facebook and through Twitter. If you just Google Plant Consciousness, you'll be able to find details.
Come up. Wonderful. Well, you're doing an absolutely amazing job. I mean, I don't even like that word, but it's the best one I have right now. It's just amazing to see all the amazing people that you're bringing together. And I sense it feels very whole, very solid. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. It's really a privilege to be able to do this. And, you know, at the end of the day, if even one person comes to this event and leaves with a different impression about how they can interact with the plant kingdom, then the event's been a success. And that's really what it's all about. And we do intend to grow this event into something much bigger in the future, and to bring in more interested parties and different organizations, and really make it something that can become a bit of a platform for us to reconnect and to spread ideas and to collaborate with different people who have the same kind of shared vision. And that's something that people will resonate with in the future more and more.
So maybe we can just finish by I don't know, is there a plant or a tree that lives near you that you feel has a message for everybody?
Okay, good question. At this particular moment in time, a plant that I'm particularly fond of and working with is in full bloom at the moment, is the mugwort plant. The reason I like that plant is because it's very well known in kind of druidic and shamanic circles as being dreamer's plant. So I'm currently working with that before going to sleep, making myself a nice pot of mugwort tea to enhance my dreams and to connect me more into my own dream world and to my own subconscious and to work with the intelligence of mugwort. Another plant that I have a great affinity with is the nettle plant. I think it's one of the most amazing plants we have, and in fact, my wife has just recently been using it to treat some of her own eczema because the nettle has histamines in it. So I think the thing is just look in your garden and just find the plant that catches your eye and then investigate it and just maybe Google it on the internet or go and find the book and just find out what it is. And you know, it's obviously trying to communicate with you if it catches your eye, or if there's a particular tree you like to sit in, like the lady that you mentioned earlier, and then there's something there for you, and perhaps that can be something that you know that you can investigate on the personal level.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Well, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for taking the time. I know it's going to be a great event, and all good wishes for it.
Yes, thank you so much, Sarah. It's been an absolute delight to talk with you this afternoon, and I'm really looking forward to spending more time with yourself and your colleagues at Plant Consciousness. And we're very excited to be working with you and to be bringing the knowledge from the flower essence world into hopefully a much bigger space.
Yes, thank you very much, David. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature.